Heck yeah, bring it on. Let's do this.
Ruffle mashup.
Welcome, women that I've got a passion about being of service to others.
Overcoming challenges.
Actionable takeaways.
It really is quite a powerful thing.
Don't wait until you're burned out like I did.
We're not in isolation. Welcome to Ruffle Mentor Mashup, where women come to grow, and I'm your host, Anne Wicking. Janine Manning, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Anne. It's lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so looking forward to our conversation. And one I want to kick off with you is, what on earth led you to wanting to support women to capture their genuine X factor?
Look, I have been in coaching for over 15 years. And the thing for me was, when I first started out in executive coaching, there were a lot of men in the executive space I was working with. And then I came across the odd woman that was there, and she would just lack this sense of confidence. I'd have a male and I'd have a female, and the male probably had less to offer, in all honesty, and less experience. I had this amazing kind of powerhouse who just didn't know how to sell herself, didn't feel confident who she was, battling with the imposter syndrome. And that's just where I thought, oh, wow, there's a real need. And when I took my coaching from New Zealand to Hong Kong, that just exploded, because there were so many just phenomenal women with so much talent who were lacking in confidence and ability to sell themselves. And it's just been, it's been a joy since then just to be taking that journey with women and supporting them.
Wow, fantastic. Look, a couple of questions out of that. Number one, so is that imposter syndrome, lack of confidence, a cultural issue or a female issue? Or talk to me more about that and what you're finding.
Yeah, look, you know what? Like, it's across everybody. So I work with men and women as well. It is definitely there with my male clients, but in all honesty, like, more females have this. So it's more, we want more evidence. We want more clarity. We want more sense that we've got probably 80 or 90% of what's being asked for, or belief in ourselves to actually step up and do things. And from a culture perspective, I think it's just as prevalent here in Australia as it is with my Asia clients or my US clients, in all honesty. So I think it is everywhere. I think it's more about, some cultures have learned to have coping mechanisms that they've been raised probably in high school and in university to be able to deal with it a little bit better and to have a better sense of self and how to navigate it. Whereas other cultures that are more focused on defaulting potentially to the senior person in the room, so our Asia kind of cultures, they're the women who I tend to see more. It's a bigger struggle for them. It's a bigger challenge for them, and it tends to hold them back a little bit more. But definitely, it's everywhere, without a doubt.
Wow. So I'm interested to hear from you about the whole differences between the cultures. And, okay, for instance, how would you manage that with someone with a culture where, I guess what you're saying is that there's quite a hierarchical approach to a workplace?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it's about, for every client, it's about getting back to basics, right? So I think often we lose our sense of confidence and voice and understanding what our value add is at the table when we start to compare ourselves to other people, right? So more senior people, for example, or people who might be deep specialists in a particular area. So often we won't stand out and be visible or speak up because we just don't feel like we've got anything to add. So for me, it's about bringing people right back to the get-go and really understanding for themselves, from a value perspective and a strengths perspective, what makes them unique and what do they want to have a voice about? Sometimes there'll be things that will happen in a meeting or, for example, in a conference or a panel, and you may not speak up about them because you're not that engaged or it's not your area of expertise. But there are going to be other topics that are really going to be core to who you are, be it values or it be your strengths or it be your area of expertise. And they're the things you want to speak up about. So for me, it's about helping people to reground, refine themselves, re-establish and identify and embrace their voice and know what they want to have a voice about, and then helping them to have some structures around starting to lean more into that and having the confidence to speak about that. Mm. And often about small steps, right? So it's maybe speaking up in the meeting initially, and then we might go to something like a podcast or a writing or a blog piece, and then maybe it's doing a panel or a conference, for example, speaking role. But yeah, it is getting back to basics initially to help people to connect.
And so why is it that we've lost connection to those basics, Janine? What's been the underlying reasons for that, do you think?
Do you know what? I think what it is, when I think about my clients globally, I think, and everyone's the same, it doesn't matter whether they're C-suite or they're coming into a managerial role, I think what it is, or an entrepreneur, I think we get so caught up in the BAU, business as usual, and we're so in the doing that often what will happen is clients will pop up a couple of years later and catch their breath and say, how did I even get here? How did I get here? What's been the journey, right? So I think we get so caught up in the day-to-day. And because of that, there is a lot of comparison in every society, right? So we're comparing ourselves. We're trying to keep up with our peers around us. We're trying to get the business as usual done, all the kind of critical stuff. And often we don't make time to get up onto that balcony every now and then, catch our breath, pause, and check in with ourselves and understand, how am I intentionally shaping my choices around my values? How am I intentionally shaping my choices? Am I doing work that I'm really good at and playing to my strengths, therefore feeling more confident and feeling more capable? Where am I intentionally having a voice or representing my brand and making, you know, decisions about getting out there and actually doing things and being proactive around it? And we don't, because we get so involved. And so for my clients, I teach them about getting up and having those balcony moments, even once a week, fortnight, or once a month, but just to check in and just really understand how they're tracking and understand how they're feeling about how they're showing up in the world and the impact they want to have and the voice that they're having at the table, as per se.
Okay. So I can hear all of our listeners saying, great idea, Janine, but so tell us about how you get the courage to do that. Let's just assume that we haven't felt the confidence or that we've got the skill set to do it. So how do we bridge that gap between going, yeah, I do, but oh, no, I can't?
Yeah. Okay. I love it. So I'm a massive advocate of Gallup Strengths Finder, right? So that's
of what, sorry?
Of Gallup's Strengths Finder. And so I've been using it for a decade. It's been around for a long time. It's definitely getting a lot of traction here in Australia at the moment. And there's a reason for that. It's because we feel unequipped to do new things when we don't have a strategy.
Yeah.
And so what I love about StrengthsFinder is it helps you to identify your strengths and it helps you to really understand, like, where do your talents sit, and it gives you a strategy basically to lean into the unknown, to lean into the discomfort, and having a strategy to how to use, you know, your greatest strengths and skills to be able to navigate that situation. There's two parts of this answer, and first is you need to know what you want to have a voice about. Mm-hmm. And so that's that initial piece of work that I would do with a client. And that goes back to basics. So values and strengths and interests and expertise, and really understanding what makes them unique, what makes them different, what do they want to have a voice in, what do they want to leave a legacy about and show up and shine the light onto. So there's a piece of work that we do around that. Outside of that, then it's the action piece that we're talking about, right? And so that takes confidence and it takes having a strategy to lean into the discomfort. And so that's what I work with my clients on, is really helping them to get a game plan, small steps, but understand what would it look like if they were to dial up their voice a little bit more? What were the opportunities? And then what does that look like? So for everybody running like a podcast like you do, that would be like the idea of hell for some people, right? Like, it was just getting out there and being on camera and asking questions in the moment and going in the flow. That would not sit with their strengths. But for other people, it would. And speaking and communicating and, for example, doing videos or speaking in a meeting is a great kind of platform for them, because it does give them that ability to place their strengths. For the more analytical people, maybe it's about writing a report, or it's about coming up with a great infographic that they can pull together ideas and concepts and simplify the complex, right? So it is about finding your way to become visible in the world in a way where you're using your strengths, you're feeling like you're doing your best work, you're feeling your most confident, and then taking lots of small steps towards it and patting yourself on the back, celebrating the successes, learning from the mistakes, and just knowing that this is a journey that you're on. It's not something you're going to flip the switch on overnight and be able to pivot kind of 180.
Yeah. I love fundamentally what you're talking about is really getting some clarity around your strengths audits, isn't it, really, and your skill set and what you can bring to the table, and then putting an action in place to actually bring those forward. So is that what you call the X factor, Janine, or is that something different?
Yeah, so we all have strengths. So that's part of the X factor. But your X factor for me comes from everything that makes you you, right? And there's no one like you on this earth. Even if you had a twin, the reality is you are different, right? So the X factor for me is this beautiful bubbling point of, it is your values, it is your beliefs in the world, it is your strengths, it is your expertise, right? So it's all of this sitting here and bubbling away. And then from that, being able to understand for yourself in all of this, because you could be any of these things and you could pull out of this bubbling opportunity, this pot that's on the boil, any kind of way to move forward. But the reality is, what gives you kind of energy? What do you want to be known for? What do you want to have an impact on? And for me, that is what personal branding is all about. It's about really, it's about deciding for yourself what impact you want to have in the world and therefore how you show up in the world to make that happen. I'm not a coach that is about X factor for the sake of ramping up your number of kind of likes and your number of followers. For me, personal branding is about you having that confidence, having that X factor, that confidence in yourself, knowing what makes you different, knowing what you're doing when you're doing your best work, knowing the impact you want to have, and then bringing that all together into a beautiful package called your personal brand, where you put it out to the world and people know what you stand for. They know what you're the go-to person for, and you're clear on it and you can articulate it. And therefore, it's almost like opening up a sign and saying, hey, I'm here. I'm available, I'm here to help, and this is what I'm really great at helping with. Because then the world knows that you're there, they know what you're the go-to person for, and then you can have more impact in the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So my question around that is that if that's, it sounds like a really good logical process to go through. So why do we let that sense of imposter syndrome or our lack of self-belief get in the way of us finding that?
It's a really good question. I think it's an innate piece. I think we don't want it to get in kind of in control of us. I don't think that people deliberately do it. I think it's something that creeps up. And I think it comes with getting out of your comfort zone. So As we grow and we progress and we are faced with new opportunity, we're out of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And so when we're out of our comfort zone, we are growing and fear sets in. And then with fear, we've got this really great ability then to tell ourselves a whole bunch of amazing stories about why we can't do it, because we're wanting our internal unconsciousness is trying to keep us safe. So I think it is its internal element. So for my clients, more than anything, it's about creating that kind of connection to self and being able to monitor self and being able to understand when are we starting to spiral, right? You'll hear the self-talk, the internal self-talk coming up. You can't do that. You're not as good as this person. You need more experience. You don't have enough degrees, whatever it may be. So what I teach my clients as part of this journey is about monitoring self, getting up on the balcony, Understanding when you've been triggered and when you're feeling a little bit of that imposter syndrome coming up. We have some great strategies around quietening that voice, clarifying the story that we're telling ourselves, and then having our action plan. And that action plan goes back to the small steps that we can take, what's in our control today, and then being able to then take those small steps right in that moment. What's one thing I can do right now to activate my brand or to dial up my confidence in this moment or to take a step towards creating a new opportunity for myself. Mm-hmm. And then once you start getting back into the action side, because you've got a plan and a strategy, it's funny enough, that voice quietens down. So I think in response to that, and I think as we progress, as we're driven women who want to maximize our impact and grow, the more we do it, the more the little imposter pops up and says, oh, hold on a second, can you really do that? But the strategies around it, I think, to maintain it. I speak to CEOs. I speak to amazing entrepreneurs who have been in business for decades. They still have it, right? It still pops up as they grow and they stretch themselves and they hold themselves to account to playing bigger. So that's kind of what tends to pop up.
It's interesting you say that, because there's that, we all as human beings, I think, love coming back to our comfort zone. And what you're talking about is always living on the edge of that comfort zone. If you're going to grow, if you're going to take that extra next step up into a career or whatever, you're going to have to stretch yourself outside, because there'll be sure as eggs stuff that you don't know. All we need is a really good strategy to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
100%. Being comfortable with being uncomfortable. And part of that strategy is knowing about, it's about how you deal with discomfort. Mm-hmm. And part of the strategy is also knowing why you're doing it. And so that means that brand piece, it's a legacy piece again, because if the carrot isn't big enough on the other side of the discomfort space, we're not going to cross it. We're going to maybe dip our toe in the corner. We might take a few steps, but we'll often retreat back to the comfort zone. It is about having the strategy, but I think it's also about knowing your why And that's why when I talk about brand, it's not about likes and follows and all of that and the superficial side of it. It's really about knowing who you are at a core and what impact you want to have in this world and what that looks like. And there's your carrot. There's your why.
Tell me what you think where passion lies in all of this for people and what they're doing.
Hugely important. Hugely important. I don't think that you always have to be sitting on that cusp of constantly pushing yourself. But I think as women who want to go out there and maximize their potential, unless you're stretching yourself and doing some things that scare you, you're never quite going to understand how far you can go. You're never quite going to understand how far that potential is. And so I think it is about moving forward in that direction. But at the same time, I think it is about understanding and having some plan around when do we have our comfort zone, our breathing space, where we can just catch our breath, BAU, do great work, but also to where's the strategy to be able to, where's the time that we're allotting to pushing ourselves, to living on that edge a little bit and really making ourselves accountable to see what we can do. Now, did I actually answer your question in that?
You did, and I think there's more to it. You did in the sense that I asked about passion and where does that sit within this, and you said it's a big thing. But what is it around passion that helps you to have that carrot that you can see in front of you to take you to that carrot?
So to me, passion's everything. Really, it's everything. We could be in roles that we do really well because it's just a skill that we've got, but does the passion sit underneath that? I've got plenty of clients that choose to not go down the route of having a passion and building out a big brand based on that. But let me tell you, the people that have got the most magnetic personal brands and truly feel inspirational are the ones that have passion that sit under that legacy piece, that sit under what they want to do. And I think often that imposter syndrome can also come up when you're in a role or you're in a business and that passion isn't there and it's not there and you're not willing to have that conversation with yourself because you know that it means shift and change. But for me, when people really tap into and they give themselves permission to be clear and conscious and proactive about dialing up their passion, that's where their energy comes from. That's when they're going to get out there. That's when that kind of crossing the unknown to the other side. Yeah, it's tough. But there's also an excitement in there because what else can I do? And you can leverage off the energy of that passion to make that cross over the divide to the other side. So for me, you can definitely have an amazing career and be an amazing entrepreneur without passion. But I think that those that really elevate and inspire and maximize their potential are the ones that have tapping into their potential and are using that as part of that fuel for their momentum.
If what you're saying is that you're more inspirational, that's what people will come towards, then that piece is obviously hooking into how passionate you are about whatever you're doing at that time.
Absolutely. And there's a crossover between passion and strength and next factor, right? When you're maximizing your strength, you're doing your best work, you're in your flow. And I've yet to come across a client that can't see the correlation between doing work they're passionate about and the connection to strengths. There is absolutely a correlation between the two of them, right? So sometimes people turn around, they say, Janine, I don't know what I'm passionate about. So often when that's the case, I'm trying to get it, then what we would say is let's focus on your strengths, play more with your strengths, explore more of your strengths, do more of your strengths in work, outside of work, and just get a sense of what else could it be? We're like, where does that lead you to? What feels like you're most aligned? And often the passion will come out of the other end of it. I think sometimes passion can be a word, but I think sometimes it can be a feeling. And yeah. I think some people put their finger on it. I had a client only yesterday who she's known since the age of 6 that she wanted to protect the environment and save the koalas. And the work she's doing now is phenomenal. And that's passion fueled, right? And then she's got a brand that goes with it. And it's just magic when it all comes together. I think for others of us, like me, like I couldn't quite even put a word onto what it was that I wanted to do, where that passion sat, but I knew the feeling of it. I knew the feeling of being connected. I knew the feeling of uplifting others. And I wanted more of that. And that was me being able to play to my strengths and do more of my strengths. And from the back of that over time, I was able to articulate what it was that I loved. And I think for a lot of people, it's the same thing.
A really interesting point you make there, because I think there is a lot of talk around passion and find your passion and do your passion. And there are a whole set of people, like obviously your client yesterday that had the absolute knowledge about wildlife. It was clear it was cut. It was, that was where she's going to go. But that's not most people. Most people
are like,
I don't know what my passion is. And so let's talk about the feeling around it, because I think that's a really interesting point there about how do we find that feeling? What is it? And how do we know that passion?
Yeah, absolutely. So passion is different for everybody, right? Every emotion is different for everybody. So what I would say to a client or to anyone that wants to explore this is, if you can go back to a time in your life, even just as a reflection exercise, right? And a visualization exercise, if you can go back to a time in your life where you potentially felt that sense of butterflies, that sense of being truly in the flow, or there being real joy around being in that moment, I would get them to unpack that and understand, what was that moment about? What was happening? Who was around you? Starting to get a bit of some ideas and some dot points and some data points as to what might be going on. What I would then say is, in life is the same thing. And this is where journaling comes in beautifully. And I know a lot of coaches rabbit on about journaling, right? But there's a reason for that, because it's that self-exploration that we can do when we're out of a coaching room. It's the connecting of dots. It's the finding of patterns. And it doesn't have to be copious pages of journaling, but even just being able to, again, get up on the balcony at the end of the night and reflect on your day. And what was the emotions that I was going through today? When did I feel my best? When did I feel I was excited and I was engaged and I felt like there was a fire in my belly? What was that about? So for a lot of my clients who can't find their passion and don't know what it is, we sometimes can start in strengths, but we'll always do the visualization exercise. And I'll also get them to do the journaling. And over the course of a month or two, it often bubbles to the surface, right? We can find moments in life or times or activities where there's a real kind of sense of a change in energy. And there's a sense of excitement about what's possible. And the flow goes really easy and they just lose time in that space. And for me, that's a really beautiful indicator to then use a safe coaching space to explore that and to understand, what could that look like? What could we do more of? What would it look like for us to go even deeper into it? And just to have a bit of a safe place to identify maybe some ways to move forward and continue to explore and maybe identify their passion.
Interesting you say that, because just reflecting back on earlier saying we spend a lot of time in business as usual, doing what we are doing with that exploration, a key critical point in that is to give yourself time. And so my question to you is, why don't we give ourselves time to do this?
Because from my personal experience as a mum and a business owner, and I think as women, we unfortunately don't put ourselves at the top of the pecking order. And that's definitely it for me. My word this year is vitality. And the only way I can get vitality is by choosing me. But I think we need to make that shift. I think we have so many priorities in our lives, and I think time is so precious. And when we divvy up time, we don't tend to put ourselves at the top of that pecking order for allotting time too. So I think it's that. And I think just life tends to get away from us, right? We can wake up and the month has gone by already, or Christmas has arrived, now it's gone. Where did that go to? So I think for me, I've learned the power of checking in on a daily basis with myself and creating. Literally in my calendar, I block out time. So I've got time in the morning. 5 a.m. in the morning is my time to get out and exercise and connect and set my intentions for the day, because it's the only gap I've got. And in the evenings, I do the same. I just do a quick check-in with myself, like, how am I feeling today? What's worked for me? How am I feeling about the week going forward? Is there anything I need to be shifting here to create more time for myself to show up and be my best version, or to unpack something I can start to feel is unraveling? It's even forced for me, and I'm a coach, right? But I have to sit down, block out that time to make it happen. But I think that's the reason why we don't have more time and why we don't allot the time. But I can tell you it's absolutely game changing. Even if it's just 5 minutes intention at the beginning of the day and 5 minutes at the end of the day as reflection on the balcony and just making one small tweak for the next day, it puts you in the driver's seat and it gives you that ability to make a decision about something that you might want to do differently the next day. That's going to help with that X factor or that confidence piece or taking a proactive action.
I know, I totally agree. I think women do not always put themselves first. So I think that's a pretty key reason. Is that a way not to find your best self as well, by not making time? Is that almost a little bit self-sabotage?
Safety, right? It's totally safety. Absolutely. And I think I see it happen all the time. We know what we need to do. We are intelligent women. We are well-resourced. We are well-learned. We know what we need to do. But it is definitely a safety mechanism, without a doubt. Because if you stop and think about what you want to shift or change, there's a chance that we're going to put ourselves out into our discomfort again. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a chance that we're going to make a decision that we need to do something that's actually going to take up more time, which is then going to mean more negotiation to create more space. And do I even have the bandwidth to do that? So without a doubt, I talk about it as going through life with the blinkers on, right? Like a course, like having those blinkers on. I think we do. I think we do it too often. And I think taking those blinkers off, it does put us in a place where we are going to feel sometimes that we're unsafe because we're not giving ourselves an option to back out. We're giving ourselves an option to grow and be better in that moment. But there comes a lot of discomfort with that. So I agree. It's totally a safety mechanism, self-sabotage, whatever we want to call it, without a doubt. And we can still stay in that place. And there's plenty of clients that I have connected with in their mid-50s and early 60s who are wanting to make a shift in their life. And they always say, I just wish that I had my own back in the moment. I knew I was capable of more. I want to do more. I still want to do more. This is why I'm here with you now. But I wish I'd done that in my 30s or my 40s, wherever it may be. So it is something that it's a life journey that we're all on. But I think it is something that's really powerful to bring into your daily kind of routine, just to be truly honest with yourself and have your own back and support yourself. And when you've got the bandwidth, move the needle and get out of your comfort zone and don't stay safe.
Interesting, Janine, you made a point that talked about women in their 50s and 60s and probably 70s, 80s, it doesn't matter when it is, at some point they come to the realisation that they want to offer more. So what are the triggers for that? What are those points when women come to and go, you know what, I think I've got more to give and I haven't?
Yeah, so one of the biggest triggers I'm seeing, the one big trigger at the moment for me is women in their 40s. I think it is a life piece, right? So it's that life piece of going, things are changing. They're better down their career to date, or their children is now settled. If they've got children, they're now settled. And it is that kind of also
just that wisdom of getting older and going, is this it?
Like, is the thing for so long, we're so head down in career and building our children or our baby in terms of our business. And once the wheels are in motion, things are going and there is a bit of BAU happening and we can breathe a little bit, it's like you get a chance to look up and think, oh my gosh, is this really it? So I think there's an element of that. So also I think women are also in their 50s and 60s, it's the same. I think children are leaving the nest. There are shifts that are happening in terms of life. And I think it is a bit of a wake-up call. Whether for some women, it's going through menopause and it's making that realization that, actually, you know what? I am going into a new chapter of my life. What do I want this to even be? And do I want to replicate what's been today? For some women, it's about selling a business. For others, it is about actually making the decision to retire or retire early, depending on where they're sitting. And it's like, what do I now do with myself? Where do I add value in this world? So I think there's always those kind of shifts in time. And I think also too, what I find with my clients that are in their 50s, 60s, and I do actually have a client that's just signed up with me who's just about to go into her 70s. She had to launch an online program. It's amazing. What I find is sometimes it's a loss. It's the loss of family members or good friends. And I think just those pivotal life moments give us a chance to stop, breathe, wake up a little bit and go, wow, hold on a second, what am I doing with my life? Mm-hmm. And so I'm a big champion with my clients. Get in front of it before then. Be in the driver's seat. Have these beautiful conversations with yourself. Check in with yourself. Dare to dream. Mm-hmm. Connect with your passions. And then have the courage to put the sign up and say, hey, guys, this is what I love doing. This is what I'm great at doing. This is how I can help you. This is the impact I want to make in the world. And do more of that.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's what we're on this earth to do, right?
We seem to spend a lot of our life trying to figure out what that is. I'm hearing you saying that there's usually a moment or something that changes in your life, whether that's that you've got more time or whether something has happened to force you to reassess what's going on, to actually go, you know what, it's about time I did what I really, truly have a passion or belief or a desire to do, one of those
things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be that either. So at the end of the day, and this, I think we don't need to go through or wait for that big life moment to happen. And I think that's what I'm the biggest champion of, is get in the driver's seat of your life today and find a way to back yourself and take lots of small steps, but get out there because this is that one chance.
So I'm interested with your clients then. That's a really a proactive response rather than a reactive response that you're really talking about, getting ahead of it and making that time to really take stock of what you want, where you want to go and be your best self. Mm-hmm. Are women starting to do that more often?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If I look generationally, I think without a doubt, like if I look at some of the new clients I've got coming through that are in their early, well, late 20s, early 30s, it's a very different mindset, right? Women in my generation or older generation. So I think there's been a shift. There's definitely been a shift in our societal expectation and acceptance that balance is good, putting yourself first, self-care. I'm definitely seeing more adoption of that in the business world in places like Australia, the UK and America. I'm not seeing the same level of adoption of in some of my Asian capitals, Shanghai, Singapore, Hong Kong. It's not there yet. I'd love to think that it would be soon. So there is a shift happening. I think as society shifts and it becomes more acceptable and it becomes almost the norm, right? I think we as women give ourselves greater permission, sadly, we won't, but we do, that society's saying that this is a good thing and it's okay to do this, right? So I would love us to do a little bit more of giving ourselves a little bit more permission as that needle continues to change. But there has definitely been a shift in society and I think that makes it easier for us to have that narrative for ourselves.
So what's caused that shift in the UK, in the US, in Australia, New Zealand perhaps? What's been at the bottom of that?
It's a culture thing, right? So I think women have more of a voice. We do. We have a voice. We have an equal voice. And I think it is. So for us, it's been coming for a long time, but there's a lot of burnout out there without a doubt. I'm seeing, and this has not just been over COVID, like for probably the last decade, I've seen so many people come to me and they're working insane hours and marriages are crumbling or relationships are crumbling and all of this is happening. And but they're still doing the hours, right? And there's so many stories like this. And I think generationally, people have seen their parents do that and they don't want to be the same version either. So I think in the more westernized clients or countries that I work in regions, I think women are just accepting it. I think there's a greater push from government to make it happen. There's a lot more awareness programs around it. In my Asia cultures, I think women that are Asia-born or European-born but working in Asia or vice versa, I think they are much more conscious of it. But it's really difficult when your business doesn't support it, when the culture doesn't support it. It's really difficult to be that lone wolf that's saying, I'm leaving at 6 o'clock, so I'm off to a Pilates class, or I'll be in late today because my child has an assembly. So it is really difficult. And that is still a huge stumbling block that women are facing, without a doubt, in those cultures. And what I like about it, the women that are feeling more comfortable to have a voice behind it, it can become part of their brand. It can become part of their legacy, right? But it's difficult and it can hold you back still, without a doubt, in some countries, in some organizations, not being seen, leaving before the boss, taking longer lunches, or doing all of that. It can definitely hold you back, which is an absolute shame. But hopefully in time, that will shift too and catch up with the Western side.
I think, look, there's a lot of discussion when you read any reports about well-being across the globe and even in Asia to some degree, but not as much. But they're now talking about, and it's actually been implemented, they've had that big four-day working week trial and a lot of companies are adapting that now in recognition that they get more productivity. So that's a tick for the company, but it also is better for their employees to be able to have that work-life balance a little bit more.
Absolutely.
So I do think it's building momentum, and I guess it's wherever there is a fairly fixed culture, it always takes time for that to shift over. But I also think, reflecting back, that women have always taken on a persona of working like a man, in other words, of having that dominance and showing and being leading by example and all of that. And I think that they've actually taken that on even more than men have to try and prove themselves. And I suspect that's taking a little bit longer to unravel. Do you see that or not?
I love that. So a client that I was speaking to last week, she is an absolute powerhouse. So she's from mainland China. She works in a financial institution, a global financial institution. She's the only female on her team. And her feedback and the reason she came to me was because she was being seen as being quite aggressive and people didn't know how to work with her. Women didn't want to work with her. The men found it too abrupt, too abrasive. And unpacking that, the reality was exactly what you were just saying, right? Like she was trying to be something that she actually naturally wasn't. Mm. And she lost sense of self and she was doing more detriment to her brand. And everybody knew that she was phenomenal at sales. Nobody could come close to her, but also no one wanted to work with her either. So there was no progression, right? She stayed in sales. She wasn't going to go into a leadership role. So I do agree with you. And I think there is a shift is definitely taking place. And I think we are unraveling that bit by bit. But I think there are a lot of women that are in that position where they have been for such a long time, felt they had to be something that potentially they're not. Hmm. That's part of what I love doing is helping people to reconnect again with who they really are at their core and starting to understand how they can slowly move that ship back into alignment and still be a powerhouse, but in a way that feels right and is authentic and doesn't have to be the ultra masculine or the alpha in the room, but can still do it in a very feminine way if that's what they want to do, but still gets the job done. And so there is a lot of great work being done out there in that space. And I'm excited because I think we need more of that balance. I think the shift, you're 100% right. The shift has gone too much one way.
You know, I think we're really talking about, if we're going to pare that down, it's the difference between having power over and power with.
Yes.
I've been interested to observe the work from home, work from office rules that companies are now starting to really bed down. And one of the things is that I've been observant of the companies that are really asking people to come back into the office full time. You just have a look at their management structure. And and I don't even need to say what the management structure looks like, but there's certainly a lack of females in it, number one. And there's also a lack of age diversity.
Yeah, no surprise there.
Yeah. And as comparison to that, for instance, one of the early on adopters of post-COVID was Mary Barriola at General Motors. And one of the things that she said up front was, righto, okay, now this is our new work policy. It's work appropriately. Now, how forward visioning is that? So it's giving responsibility to each individual employee saying, if you need to be in the office because your job requires that, then that's what is working appropriately. If you can work from home, then you do that. So giving people sovereignty. But interestingly, I think there's still a real clam down on the power over piece. And while that's still, whether that be in Western cultures or Asian cultures, until that shifts, I think we've got a long way to go.
I agree. And I think with my clients, I'd always say to them, if you're feeling stifled, if you're feeling like that alignment is not there for you, you're never going to do your best work. So I have had clients recently make that shift, right? So there's some really amazing forward-thinking companies. Like in the US, I work with Akamai, big tech company, and very similar. So they are all about actually, there is no cap in your legs. So they've created this culture post-COVID where people do feel like they are in the driver's seat and that they can make great decisions and people are thriving because of that. I would definitely say to my clients that aren't in that situation, if you now find that you've found a new way of working that really plays to your strengths and puts you in flow and that you're doing your best work and you're loving and you're no longer able to have that, that misalignment and culture is not only going to impact your mental health, it's going to impact potentially your opportunities within the business because you're not aligning to the requirements. And you're also not going to feel like you've got that running space for your potential.
Yeah.
So I definitely would always say to clients, if you're feeling like that, like just look out what's happening in the market, do some research into who's got some amazing kind of environments and cultures now going forward. And because I think that cultural alignment for best work, for your brand, for everything, I think is just so important. Yeah, it's massive.
Yeah, I agree. And fundamentally, really what you're talking about, or I'm taking from this, find an organization that has the power with process and trust versus a company that has a power over and fear. Right? They're the distinguishers for me. And I guess really what you're saying is think enough of yourself to go to where you best fit.
100%. 100%. Mm. I think for so long people have been in that mentality of when I go into an interview, I want to be what they want me to be. Mm. And it has shifted and I'm certainly a massive advocate of you are interviewing that organization as much for that much as they're interviewing you. Like, you've got to find that fit. And I think in today's world, there are so many opportunities to find a culture and an organization that's a really great fit for you and that can help you to just thrive and have the autonomy to do things your way and for that to be okay and that alignment to be okay.
Yeah.
Having said that, there are some people that just love structure. They love structure. They want to be in the office. So if that's a good fit for you as well, amazing. No shifts required. But there's probably then some opportunity because other people are leaving. So maybe that's where you start to push yourself in terms of being more visible and going for the roles that you really want as those movements happen within an organization.
Yeah, I think there's you've made a really important point there, Janine, in sense of people finding their best structure for them. Yeah. And that's different for all of us. And thank goodness, because if we were all exactly the same, that would be a problem too. But yeah, Janine, what I am interested in is what would you suggest to anyone? What are three actionable takeaways that people could start with right now? Define their perfect self or their X factor.
I think everything we've talked about today just for me just regrounds back into the really simple yet big task of knowing yourself. It's the foundation of everything we've been talking about today. It's a foundation of brand. It's a foundation of career success or entrepreneurial success. It is a foundation of knowing your culture, the right fit, right? So I guess my three takeaways would be, one, if you haven't done it already, sit down and really unpack your values. Really understand what's the core of who you are, what you need and want to feel whole and aligned and thriving in this world. Yep. And then use those little babies to navigate and make really great decisions. And if anyone's stuck on it, I've got an amazing workbook. Very happy to share that workbook with anybody. It's not a scratch the surface. It's a bit of a deep dive, but it's there because I think it's so fundamental. The second thing I would always say to people is I think part of leaning into the unknown and part of getting to know yourself, but also being the best version of yourself is, again, strengths. So I can't go past that. Whether it's Gallup Clifton StrengthsFinder or it's something else, take the time to do an online assessment, unpack it and sit with it, and then use that new insight and knowledge to start to think about how to do your job differently or what you need to be delegating, because you want to be focusing on and doing more of the stuff that you're really good at and less of the stuff you're not. So you're building your confidence, you're building your wins, you're having greater impact. So values, strengths, and my final one is get on that balcony, please. Take that time to connect with self. Don't let years, weeks, months unravel. Get on that balcony on a weekly basis or a daily basis and check in with self and just see how you're feeling. See about what you need to be working on, what's come up for you. Maybe it's that passion piece. Like, pick one thing to focus on. Is it getting to know your values a little bit more and just recapping on those on that balcony moment once a day or once a week? Or is it about helping you do it, kind of start to find your passion and using that time in that balcony to connect with yourself about that? Or maybe on that balcony, it's about that inner voice, because there's an amazing opportunity that you're holding yourself back from. And maybe it's about unpacking that inner voice and actually having a bit of exploration about what might be holding you back, what you might be trying to keep yourself safe from, and that fear to be able to take that step forward. So my third one would be create those balcony moments, weave them into your life, and I promise you it'll be game changing.
All incredibly important parts of really finding who we are and finding our X factor, what we're good at, what we love in life, and what we value in life. Now, for all of you listeners, if you want to connect in with Janine, we'll have a link to Janine on the Ruffle website. And there you can have a look at what she's got and get in connection with her. But thank you so much for joining me today, Janine.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, Anne. I've had a lot of fun going through this and exploring this with you. So thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks for listening to today's episode. You know what, if you felt inspired by listening to today's conversation, or perhaps you had your own aha moment, feel free to hit the follow button. Ruffle is really all about women for women, sharing and connecting. Perhaps you'd like to share this link with one of your friends that you feel that's on a growth trajectory. So until next time, stay tuned for our next episode. I'm your host, Anne Wicking.